It's now 9 minutes past 8 o'clock. This past week, the Department of Labor held a press briefing announcing the setting up of a Section 32 inquiry to investigate possible acts of negligence that resulted in occupational injuries and deaths of workers at the Denel munitions site in Makassar. The inquiry would look into events where an explosion at 3 munitions plant led to the deaths of 8 workers. This is the context of the conversation, but we will not be asking specifics about it, rather talking about what happens when you are injured while you are in a place of work, or where you die when you are at a place of work. Jorge is the Director of Employment Practice at the Cape Town office of Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyer. Jorge, thank you very much for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Africa, and good morning to your listeners.
All right, let's talk about injuries. Back in the day, I had knowledge of a thing called the workman's compensation, I think it's called. And I know that a percentage of the company's as a wage bill will then go towards that fund, so that should there be an injury while I'm at work, I can then claim for obviously any costs that I'll be incurring as a result of getting myself better from that fund. Is that still in place, and how does it work?
It's still in place. So what you remember as workman's compensation is now called, it's now the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act. And we now have a compensation commissioner who decides the claims. If you are injured at work, there is a process to follow. And I'll just take you through that briefly. The employee is required to submit a notice of accident and claim form. After that, there's a report of the accident by the employer. The employer submits this to the compensation commissioner. It must be done within 7 days of the injury, or if it's a occupational disease, within 14 days of the employer finding out about that. Now, the employer's got to do this regardless of whether they believe the employee or not. What then happens is the compensation commissioner processes the claim. There's a doctor's report which gets filed subsequently. Within 14 days of the doctor seeing the employee, and in that report, he'll record how serious it is and how long he expects the employee to be off work. And then after that, there are various progress reports that are filed, and a final report, and then finally a report by the employer to the Compensation Commission for when the employee returns to work. So just interestingly there, for the first 3 months, the employer continues paying the employee and then claims that money back from the Compensation Commissioner.
Okay.
So
It sounds, I mean, as much as it is a process, it certainly sounds a lot more efficient than the previous incarnation of it, where it is obviously about making the payments where payments are due. But in order for the payments to be made, certain paperwork and proof needs to be afforded the commissioner, who will then be able to approve your payment.
Yeah, look, I think the process works a bit better than it used to, but there's still massive delays in payments from the Compensation Commissioner. It is something I know the department is working on at the moment, but there have been numerous complaints.
Part of my complaining about the whole system in the past was the opportunities for abuse of the system, particularly by lawyers, and I'm definitely not including you into this WhatsApp group, Jose, at all. But I have been to hospitals in the past where you'll have these lawyers waiting outside, waiting for injuries to come in, if you like, and then for them to, fill out this form, appoint me as your lawyer. Let's get some money out of the fund.
I think you may be referring specifically to the road accident fund practitioners. There have been some difficulties in the past, but I think we're sorting those out. With workmen's comp claims, it's a very different kind of scenario. It is very kind of forms-driven, et cetera. And there's, attorneys who do that kind of work aren't going to take a massive fee for this kind of work.
Not at all. Okay, so that's in the event of an injury while you were still at work. What happens when you die?
Your dependents have a claim against the Workmen's Compensation Fund. It's a process again. You'd have to show that you are a dependent. Generally, we're talking about spouses and children. You need to show that you are married or that you've lived as a married couple. You need to submit the children's birth certificates, the death certificate. There's a declaration form by the spouse. You'd have to submit the incident report, funeral accounts, and then just give details of your income and property. The Compensation Commissioner will then determine the claim, and if it's successful, the family will receive monthly payments that do not exceed what the employee would have received as a pension fund payment.
Out of interest, for how long will those monthly payments go on for?
That's actually an interesting question. I'll have to get back to you on that, but I'm assuming until the employee would reach normal retirement age.
Okay. Is this fund well managed, in your opinion, Jose? Are we like the road accident fund? I suppose are we likely to see the proceeds or the resources rather that have been allocated here once again being paid for out of our wage bill by the employers who are employing us? Is there enough for it to manage all of these claims against it when those claims are eligible to be paid out?
As far as I'm aware, there is certainly enough money in the kitty to deal with all the claims. I think the problem is more capacity one and a processing issue.
And are there measures to address those capacity and processing issues?
Yes, there are. I know various people have taken legal action against the compensation fund. I guess that is your recourse. You bring a claim against them.
No, for sure. Are we seeing an increase? And this is anecdotally, Jose, I appreciate that you might not have the stats in front of you, but are we seeing an increase in the number of claims being made against the fund, therefore indicating that our places of work are becoming more and more dangerous? Because there are legislative frameworks in place that determine that if you are an employee employed by a company, that company has a measure of responsibility to make sure that you are safe in what you're doing. And let me give you perhaps a slightly bigger background, Jose, as to why I'm asking the question. We know that in the mining industry, for example, in the last few years, we've seen a hike in the wrong direction, sadly, of the number of deaths related to the mining industry, which one then might read into that perhaps the safety issues around those mining, the mining industry is not as paramount as it should be, because one death is one death too many.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. One death is one death too many. Africa, I don't have the stats at hand. I am aware of more frequent incidences in the mining industry. I don't do any work in the mining industry. The sectors that I work in, I think the health and safety issues are pretty well taken care of. The legislative framework, I think, is very sound. The Occupational Health and Safety Act places quite onerous obligations on employers. It's also supported by a vast array of regulations which deal with very specific issues within sectors. So I think from that aspect, the obligations the statute places on employers is sound. And I think if there are any breaches, it's more to do with employers who aren't carrying out their duties. And I know that the department is actually policing the act quite well in the sectors that I work in.
All right, Jose, before I let you go, let's take a quick call and question from Alan in Grassy Park. Alan, good morning. What's your question for Jose?
Good morning. Sorry for the switch off. If you didn't have an injury at work, but you had an operation for some wear and tear on your body, now say they removed off your liver, now you're lying in hospital for 3 months. Is there compensation for that?
Before Jose answers, let me ask this question, Alan. Is the reason why you have had an operation related to the work that you do, or is it just you getting older, Alan?
Yeah, well, you don't know that. You see, it's like wear and tear. Just call it wear and tear. It maybe could have happened while you're not there. Maybe it could have happened in another workplace, but now, unfortunately, you are there now. You know what I mean?
All right. Jose, what happens in that situation?
Well, Africa, you're asking the right questions. If it's related to the injury at work, you certainly would have a claim for it. But it's a matter of proof. How are you going to show that it is linked to whatever the injury at work is, or the occupational illness? So if you can show that there's a link, you can definitely claim for that.
And if you can't?
Then you won't be able to claim for it through workman's comp.
Not at all. Hey, I know, Alan, thank you, by the way, for your call. I know that generally when you check out insurance on your person, one is offered loss of income insurance, that kind of thing. This fund doesn't allow for that kind of cover, right? You can't claim against it because you are unable to obviously generate an income because you are incapacitated.
No, the fund simply covers injuries or death that arises from an incident at the workplace. And it simply relates to kind of bodily function. So if you can't use your arm, etc., you can't claim for pain and suffering and things like that from the workman's comp.
Jose, thank you very much for your time this morning, and thank you for clarifying it, because I think there are a lot of misconceptions regarding what can and cannot be claimed against the fund, and you've spelled it out very clearly for us today.
Thank you, Africa.
Jose is the Director of Employment Practice at the Cape Town office of Cliff Decker and Hofmeyer.